Okay. This morning, just for me finishing off before I go, I've got a few things to share with you from Colossians. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there, Colossians chapter 3. I have a few things I feel God's put in my heart that I wanted to share with you, so I'll add those on to the end of that. I want to recap some of the things we talked about last week, which is sort of the gifts in the church. And there's a lot of people that were here last week, but there's also a lot of people that weren't here last week who I want to just share with in the same kind of way. So if you were here last week, you weren't here last week, rather, you won't miss out. And then I think it'd be just good to pray together to finish with. So that's what's going to happen now. I haven't got a lot to say from Colossians, but I have other things to say as well. So I'm going to do that. So, but can we read Colossians? I'm going to start chapter 3, verse 12, just to verse 17. So I'll read that. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This seemed just the right thing just to read, just before I go on sabbatical, just to say, to encourage you that this is who you are and this is who you are to be. It's very simple. It's nothing really revolutionary, except it is completely revolutionary in the way that this is the church is supposed to be. And so it says here, as God's chosen, holy, dearly loved people. Those are the words that Paul uses. You kind of get a sense here in the tone of voice. I was listening to a podcast earlier in the week about how we read scripture. Sometimes we have to understand the tone of voice that's being spoken to us, and that it's written. You know, I can easily say to Keith, "Don't do that," you know, and that's one tone of voice, as if like he's being naughty. But it's like, "Keith, don't," you know, and that's a different tone of voice, as if like, "Duh, come on, Keith," or there's kind of, "Don't do that," you know, it's more. And I think a lot of this, the tone of voice of this is very loving and very caring. In fact, he says you are a dearly loved people to the church. You're a chosen people. You're holy. And so I want to remind you not to forget that ever as a church. Let us not forget that we are chosen. You're not here by accident. You're not here with no reason or no purpose, but you are chosen by God. Not only chosen by God to be his people, but chosen to be here for the time you're here. You're holy, that means you're set apart, and you're dearly, dearly loved. And I think all of us still need to allow that to sink in, that we are dearly, dearly loved by God. So then he goes on to say, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Put on those things. Clothe them. Clothe yourself in them. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. There's some of those one another's you get. Paul talking a lot about those things. And these are virtues. So it sounds a bit of a Catholic word, that, doesn't it? When you hang around with Catholics, they speak about virtues a lot. But I've found. But it's a biblical word. And it's good to develop these things, these Christ-like characteristics. He says, put them on. But he says, over all of those things, and this is something that I just really feel, I know we know this, but I just want to encourage you in it, put on love. Put on love. Love one another. Love God and love one another. And in doing so, as you put on these things, you will be ministers of Jesus to one another. I'm glad we're not like this, but in many churches, people just look just to the pastor to be the minister. And I don't think we're like that in this church, which I'm grateful for. So it means I can go on sabbatical, and I know that the wheels aren't going to fall off the cart, because I think there is a lot of sharing goes on here. But I want to encourage you more so to be Christ to one another. And you may think, well, how can I do that? Well, you can only do that through the grace of God, but the good news is that the grace of God is there on all of us. So we're all right. We're in the right place. So put on love. Minister Jesus. Minister his presence. Sometimes just being with people, you don't realize how much you just minister God to other people just by being with. Live in his characteristics. The compassion, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the forgiveness. And just minister God to one another, but also you'll minister, as you do so, you'll minister God to those around you in the world you live in. It says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. And if I'm honest, I was talking to a few people earlier in the week. This is a strange time to go on sabbatical. With Margaret having just passed away, quite unsettling, is it not? Yeah? So John and Anu are going to be moving on. That's a change for us as a church as well. And summer is just a different time anyway. You know, things are different. And it can be quite, it's a different time. And I think it's a season of just God doing things in us to unsettle us in a good way, if that makes sense. Because we don't like to be unsettled, do we? None of us likes to be unsettled. But actually, I think God sometimes does just give us a little bit of a shake and an unsettling to bring transformation and to bring, you know, change in us. Mixed in with that, there's sadness, there's loss, there's a vulnerability, isn't there, when we're in this kind of position and you just think you're a bit exposed, things are different. But it says, in all of that, let the peace of Christ rule your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. If there's one thing, even if everything else changes, if the one thing that does not change, it is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? That's the what John. Whenever John preaches, he gets Josh to read that verse, doesn't he? But that is so true. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People change, leaders come and go. Countries succeed and fall. We went to see Evita last night at the theatre in Woking. I don't know if you know the story. Yeah, I didn't know the story. I just like the song "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina." So that was the way that Louise got me to go. But it just made me realise again, because it's all about Eva Perón and her husband, who was the president, and just the kind of people put their hope in a person. And that person, even if they last a long time, you know, Nelson Mandela, Eva Perón, Princess Diana, you know, Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth, they will eventually go, and they won't be there anymore. And then, if our hope is only in that person, then the wheels do fall off, don't they? But let the peace of Christ, the unchanging Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who will never forsake you or leave you, let that peace reign in your heart. He's always with us. Other people will come and go. Even the most trustworthy people in your life will let you down at some point, but Jesus will never let you down. So let his peace rule in your heart. It's a peace, and I've experienced this many times, a peace beyond our understanding. As in Philippians, doesn't it, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So in those times where we just think, I don't know how this is going to work, or I don't know what's going on, let the peace of Christ guard your hearts, because God is in control. God is in control. I don't know if you remember last week, we did that thing I found in the Celtic prayer book where we just took the people that we know in one hand and held them in our fist, and then we put another hand underneath. When I first did that, it was very powerful to know that God's hand cares for all the people that we would worry about or be concerned about, including us, we're all in his hands. My hands don't do it justice, because I reckon his hands are a little bit bigger. And it's a good image. Jesus is in control. And then it says, finally, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. I hadn't thought of this because of what's happening, but I know Daniel's arranged a preaching series with the Psalms as in mind, and I think that's great. And that's part of this, what this is speaking into. But the overarching thing that extends with that as well is that let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. It's all about Jesus. Yeah, it's all about Jesus. And let that be the focus always. Let his words, let his actions dwell among you richly. His message changes us. It transforms the world. I was listening. I found, does anyone know N.T. Wright? He's one of my favourite theologians. Have you ever been Tom Wright? Oh, you need to listen to this stuff. He was on, it was a Premier Radio video broadcast thing, and he was talking with a agnostic historian called Tom Holland, I think it is, who'd written several books about the Roman Empire. And it was normally Tom Wright. I'm sitting there listening to him, and he's just rich in the message of Christ, actually. But he was listening on this clip. He was listening to this other guy who's agnostic, so he's not a Christian believer. He believes in something, and this historian was saying he'd studied Paul just as from a historical point of view, and the message that Paul brought, obviously Jesus' message. And he said, I realized I have no connection with the Romans and the Greeks, because their culture was so horrible. He talks about emperors who would parade through the streets and say how they reveled in how many people they'd kill. That was their kind of culture. You know, it wasn't a kind of, this is a matter of fact, this happens in war, but it was actually, I'm celebrating that I've killed this number of thousands of people. And he said, as I looked at the barbarity and the debauchery of that culture, I realized that actually, and then I studied Paul, he said, I realized that I'm more Christian than I thought. And then he started to describe how the message that Paul brought through of Jesus historically changed the world. And Tom Wright, who's this theologian who I love, he's kind of going, he's speechless, but he's going, the only thing he said at one point, he said, that's very interesting. Because even he hadn't quite realized the power of the message of Jesus, because he's a historian as well, Tom Wright, through history. I'll send you a link if you want to watch it. It's really interesting to watch. My point being, let that message of Christ dwell richly in you. Don't take it for granted. Just let it dwell in you, because it will bring transformation in us and continue to do so. Everything in the name of Jesus. So I wanted to encourage you in those things. Hang on to all of that. But I also just wanted to just have a moment and just remind you of something that I think, moving on from that, God spoke to us. Do you remember before the AGM, which was in March, I think? Emma can do the look at the minute. It was in March? I got it. Okay. Well, just before that, the week before that, we had a time of prayer. Do you remember? And we just asked God, let's speak to us. And there was various headings on bits of paper, the things we were going to pray about. And one of the things was Richard's sabbatical. I've got it in the office. I only just found it the other day. And underneath Richard's sabbatical, somebody has written, not a time for stagnation for the church, but a time of accelerated growth for individuals within Kings, the release of new giftings. And then Philippians 2 was written out. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. And the last thing that was written was, it's a time to think about where we all fit into the body. Now, I'd forgotten all of that, because I'm really good at stuff like this. So it was all written down and scrunched on a piece of paper in my office, which, as I was tidying out this week, I found on Friday afternoon, just before I found Keith's staple gun. But I hadn't remembered any of that. But what I had wanted to just finish with today was, well, I started with it last week, that it's a time for all of us to grow in the gifts. And so that's why I did what I did. If you weren't here last week, I spoke about how God, through Christ, has given gifts to the church. And I will continue in a minute just to speak out where I see those gifts are in different people. So that's what I did last week. I also felt it, I need to say to you, you know what to do. I think sometimes people think when the pastor goes, I've seen this happen in church, the pastor goes away and everyone kind of thinks, oh, what do I do now? You know, I don't know how to sing songs anymore. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to worship. How do we break? How do we even take communion? How's that happened in the past? But I want to encourage you, you know what to do. Just do it. You know how to love one another, don't you? You can always grow in it, but you've got the basics. You know how to worship. You know how to pray. You know how to encourage one another. You know how to be Jesus to one another. You know how to welcome those who are from outside. You know how to do it. You know how to, these things that I read here from Colossians, you do know how to do that. I'm not saying you're perfect, and neither am I, but you can go for it, okay? So that's another thing I felt wanted to share. And the last thing, which is interesting, and it's the same word, as I think it was when Emma was doing her thing with the seeds, that's it. Was it last week or the week before last week? I wrote it down on a piece of paper. The word accelerate. And I felt it's time, my sabbatical isn't a time for just maintaining the church. Because you might think, right, Richard's off for 10 weeks, let's just hold it together for 10 weeks, and then when he gets back, we can all relax, and then we can carry on as normal. Or then we can move forward. And I felt God was saying that this next 10 weeks isn't just a time for just keeping it going. Just about chugging on, you know? But actually it's a time for acceleration, which is the same thing that was written down in March, which I'd forgotten about. So what I wrote down is not a time to step off the gas or just cruise, but a time to grow and develop and move on and accelerate in things. Just because I'm not here doesn't mean to say things God can't move. And I know you know that, but I want to tell you that is right. In fact, that's okay. Time for acceleration and growth. And by God's grace, that's possible. Well, just to finish off with, what I did last week is I went round and before we pray together, I'd like us to pray together. But I did, if you want to listen to the teaching, I've got it, it's on the website. But I just went round, and these aren't, I just want to make clear, I'm not saying that these are prophetic words. You know, sometimes people speak at the front and say, oh, Peter, I see this. And these aren't things that I've thought that come from the Holy Spirit so much. These are things of my pastoral observations. They may, however, contain prophetic things within them. I don't know. If they do, that's great, but that's the Spirit. But this is me just saying what I see in people, and I want to share that. So I'm going to start around. So there aren't people that were here last week, and so you'll just have to, you know, remember that you were spoken to last time. But Graham wasn't here last week. He was dog-sitting, which I don't know whether he would count as one of his gifts. but there you go. So, Graham, I think we recognize you as a prophet. I think you're an interesting kind of prophet. It's more so with your some of the actions you do. I remember that a few months ago now, possibly, when you got us to stand in a circle around the Howards, but facing out. I think that was a very powerful thing, and it made sense to us of what we were doing at that time. So I'd encourage you to grow in that. But also when you speak as well, just I think you hear from God clearly, and just continue to grow in that. And also continue to grow in how you can ask God for more clarity, I suppose, so that you can speak with more clarity. And there's no harm in that, you know, because that's what we want to hear. We need to hear. So I want to encourage you in that. You're a great support and a great encourager. I really appreciate that. You're just one of those sort of people alongside the shoulder who you just know, come rain or shine, you're around. And that's very encouraging. You've got a real heart for healing. And there's several of us, I said this last week, several of us have got a heart for healing. So keep pressing in on that. You know, we will see breakthrough. We're a little church where I think big things will happen one day. And I hope that one day is soon. And it may even be next week. I don't know. But keep pressing in. And you're great at hospitality as well. You're just, I mean, we know as a family, you both of you, really blessed with hospitality, both here and abroad. But your hospitality is a gift to the church, so thank you. And I think for all of us, both, I didn't say this last week, but both Sheila and Graham are real examples and gifts to the church of those who have persevered through difficulty. You know, I mean, your illness the last few years, it's only one example, but it's a vivid example to us because we've kind of lived through it a bit with you because it's happened while you were here, but there have been other stuff as well. So you're a real example to us, and that's a gift to the church of how we keep going through rain or shine, and you're back as well, Sheila, is another example. Of this. I don't know how you keep going, but you do. And But bless you. Right. Peter and Charmaine, you weren't here last week. Charmaine, you have a real mother's heart. That's what I've seen. And that is a real blessing to us as a church. And I'm saying this as well, but by the way, I'm saying this not just for you, but so for everyone, because people might not know some of these things, and I think it's important that people see about you. And there's a real care, and there's a real support there. You're another very supportive person, so I appreciate that about you. And you are a befriender. You're very good at just being with and getting alongside, and so that's a gift to the church. So thank you. Keep going. Peter, your humour, believe it or not, is, it's a gift to the church. It is a real gift to the church. And you're very disciplined, and you're another very disciplined. I know we are. But believe it or not, your discipline and your challenge benefits us. And it is a gift to us, and I appreciate it. And whilst we don't necessarily always start on time, for instance, I think we would start later if you hadn't helped us with that. And I would say continue to challenge and continue to be a gift to us in that way. Because the church benefits from that. That's both of you. Yes. Moving on. You were here last week. Daniel wasn't here last week. Daniel, I think we've recognised as a teacher. Seen the teacher really well. He's also obviously an evangelist through what he does at CAP. I don't know whether you necessarily would say you're a natural evangelist, but you're becoming a natural evangelist, I think, in just what you're doing. It's really there. I don't know whether you're a natural evangelist before. I don't know, but I've just seen it growing. Really good at communicating, so appreciate that. Things are just clear when you say it. And you're one, just like I said about Reg last week, you're a minister to the needy, one of our hands. And that is a gift to the church, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody is able to. Or you have a heart for healing. There's a lot of people actually here that have a heart for healing, and that's a gift to the church. So keep pressing on with that. Don't give up, you guys. And one thing, maybe this is, I don't know if this is prophetic or sort of directional. I think you have real leadership skills, and you really know how to lead from the front, which is what we need sometimes. But also, I'd challenge you to learn how to lead from the back of the boat. You know how you steer a narrow boat? And what that means is you have to sort of see where the flow is going and see where the bends are coming from behind, if that makes sense. See where things are from in a pastoral sense. Sort of see what God is doing amongst the people and lead from that. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes it's about, right, we're going this way and everyone has to follow. Sometimes, though, it's just a case of, oh, God's doing, I hadn't thought of that, and God's doing, oh, right, and then you steer, but you still need to steer things. That may be applied to cap on it. Leslie, moving on. You know, you're a prayer. I don't know if you realise this, but I really sense this. When you pray, I think I said this to Julie last week, when Julie prays, it's very profound. When you pray, oftentimes, it's like, this is on the money. This is good. And so it's a real gift to the church. You have a real gift of service, and when you serve, it really blesses us. And hospitality, continual hospitality, and that is a blessing to us. We missed the Easter breakfast actually this year, so we'll have to do that next time. Yeah, God bless you in that. Wendy was sunning herself. Welcome back. It's great to have you see your face again. Wendy, you're another mother in the church. You are, and a prophet. And I know you hear from God, and I want to keep encouraging you. I know you stopped putting a pen next to your bed and whatever it was, so because God kept waking you up. But I want just to encourage you, you know, when you hear God speak, share it with the fellowship. I think you hear. And I think also these, when other, like just like today, Sheila shared something, and Daniel went, oh yeah, I have the same thing. I think that will start more and more start to spark off, because it encourages, doesn't it, when someone has, I have this from God. Oh, it's only good. So keep speaking it out. You're a real encourager. Real encourager. And that's a real blessing to the church. And I think you're an evangelist as well. I was saying this about Sheila last week and others. I give you the difference, I think, between an evangelist and somebody like me, a pastor. When somebody comes to me and they start talking, I think I'm really good at listening. And maybe asking a few questions or maybe answering a few questions. But people like you take that in a different direction. So if somebody will come to you and you'll go, oh yeah, but did you know Jesus? So I'll kind of like get alongside and give them a hug. You might well do that, but also you'll kind of point them quite specifically and directly, and I think that's something you have, and I think you can be bold in it. You know, that's who God's given you to be in the church. Right, Reg was here last week, and who was here last week? Rhoda, I don't really know you, so I haven't got anything to say, I'm afraid. But bless you, it's great to have you with us. And yeah, hope to see more of you. Sherry, were you here last week? You were here last week. Emma, you're the last one, I think. Oh, and Daniel. Let's start with Daniel. Where's Daniel? No, the other Daniel. He's Dan, young Dan. Dan, I want to say to you, we love having you around. You are a blessing to all of us. Just being here and your smile and your cheeky ways and your little kind of sarcastic comments and all of that. It's really appreciated. We know we joke about the biscuit display, but we do appreciate all of that, and it's really well done. And obviously, you do stuff there in the corner as well, which is appreciated. And I just want you to know, I said this to you guys yesterday last week, but we don't look down on you because you're young. You're very much part of who we are. I can remember, like with these guys, it's when you were younger than James and Ethan and Nishan, but we don't look down on you. You're very much part of us. And final thing, I think you've got a lot of creativity. Looking forward to seeing you flex those creative muscles. I think you've probably got some genetic things come from your mum, but they're kind of different though, so in a different way. So you don't have to be the all flowering seeds and stuff, that girly stuff. I think it will come out in a different way, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then finally, finishing with Emma, I kind of preempted that really. Where's Emma? Very creative, obviously. I think if there was a gift of creativity in the church in the Bible, Emma would be. But it is a real blessing to the church to know that if something needs to be decorated or made or thought about creatively, that's a real beauty to us. So thank you. You're very good with the details, fortunately. Because I'm not, and so admin is in good hands when it's in your care, so we appreciate that. I think sometimes admin is seen as the boring thing on the spiritual gifts, but it's not, it's important. So appreciate that. I think another one of your gifts is you have an attention, you seem to know how to identify everybody's needs quite individually. And so I see it in gift giving. So when you give somebody a present, you don't just kind of go into Woolworths and say, there's a box of chocolates and stick it in their hand. Woolworths? What's Woolworths? Goodness me. I mean, you know what I mean, don't I? Yeah. But you deliberately work out what people are like, what they need. You then know how to give gifts. And so that's a real blessing to us. Obviously, stuff for children and worship, and your care for the church don't need to be said, but they will be said because they don't go unmissed. And that's a real gift to the church. And the final thing, and I'd like maybe just maybe few of us can just pray for you later. I've got a word for you, but I'm going to share. This is a Damien thing now. I'm going to share with you later if that's right, but remind me. I'll do that. That's it. That's us, King. People I haven't spoken to here last week, they had it. If you want to, you can ask them. I'd like us to pray now. I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, just you praying for me, and I'd like to pray for you. I'll pray for you, and I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to go and just have some time. I really do need it, if I'm honest. I'm not. I do need some time. I'm looking forward to just putting my headphones in and just spending some time, just refreshing and recreating. I listen to, if you want to listen to a great thing on rest, I listen to a podcast, and I've talked about these podcasts a lot, by Joyce and Jess. Great one on rest. But they talked about Joyce, they're from America, but Canada, but Joyce deliberately doesn't say vacation, but she says holidays, because she says they need to be holy days. And that in our recreation, we need to be recreated. And those are some of the things I'm taking with me. I want to have some time, holy time, and I want to have some recreating time. But I thank you for that opportunity. So how about I pray for you and then you pray for me? Is that a deal? Is that all right? Yeah? Is that okay? All right. Lord, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for this body of people that are dearly loved, who are holy and chosen. And Lord, I want to pray into some of the things that said. I want to pray that there will be accelerated growth here in the next 10 weeks and beyond. I want to pray that you would accelerate people's gifts. Where there are prophets, let the Spirit come and really speak to them. Where there are people with gifts of healing, let us see healing. Where there are people who are encouragers, where there are people who are mother and father figures here in the church, where there are people that have creative skills, where there are people that teach, where there are people that care. In all the things, the different gifts and the different way you've gifted us as a church, let there be an acceleration amongst all of us. And release more. These are just the things that I see, but I know you have other things as well. Release more of what you want to do in this church. Let the body of Christ may be built up here in this place. Let there be an empowering by your Spirit. Lord, I want to pray protection over the church against the schemes of the enemy. That as we lift up your name here in this place, the enemy would not get a foot in the door in any way. Let love, let unity reign here. And let the message of Christ dwell richly among the church. And I pray in all things, let Jesus be known here to one another. Let Jesus be known to those outside. And to the world around us. That message of Jesus that transformed the world that was very Roman and very Greek 2,000 years ago, but is now so different because of your message and your power and the Spirit at work in the world. Let it be working through us in this town and in this area. In Jesus' name. Amen.